The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwatin
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, UK court to decide fate of Naila Metepe today. Sehim Municipal National Service Coordinator commits suicide. Past broadcasters ask GBC to stick to his mandate as service public service broadcaster. And police constable in Pretoria under investigation for alleged bribery. But first, the summary with Jonathan Thompson.
The Ghanaian woman who was busted for carrying 12.5 kilograms of cocaine into the United Kingdom, Ruby Appiah, alias Naila Metepe, will reappear before the Crown Court at Isleworth in the UK today. The case was adjourned to January 5th, 2015 in November last year after she pleaded guilty to all charges leveled against her. 12 people are standing trial in Ghana in connection with the case. The Sehun Municipal Coordinator of the National Service Scheme, Lambert Akansa, is alleged to have committed suicide. The Akusi District Police Commander, ASP Francis Aka, told Radio Ghana investigations reveal Mr. Akansa hanged himself the very day he was to honor an invitation by the BNI. The deceased was one of 23 district directors of the National Service Scheme under investigation for the alleged disappearance of 7.9 million Ghana cedis from the scheme. Veteran workers of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC, have called on the corporation to stick to its original mandate as a public service broadcaster. On GTV's Talking Point last night, former broadcaster Godwin Abinogbo asked GBC not to follow the crowd but maintain its standard to attract more investors. A former engineer of the corporation, Theophilus Bosu Bruce, added that satisfying the needs of the audience must be the priority of GBC rather than focusing more on commercialization. And a Pretoria police constable is under investigations for alleged bribery. The constable, a fingerprint expert, had attended to a burglary at a fruit and vegetable outlet in Pretoria North 2 weeks ago. Footage of the scene shows the officer pocketing the cash after sending employees at the shop outside. Reports say criminal and disciplinary actions will be taken against the constable.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The Ghanaian woman who was busted for carrying 12.5 kilograms of cocaine into the United Kingdom, Ruby Appiah, alias Naila Metepe, will reappear before the Crown Court of Isleworth in the UK today. The case was adjourned to January 5, 2015 in November after she pleaded guilty to all charges leveled against her. Metepe's arrest and subsequent trial have generated huge controversy in Ghana. 12 people are standing trial in Ghana in connection with the case. The Narcotics Control Board, NACOB, has also come under intense criticism for failing to prevent the drugs from leaving the country, even though it claims it collaborated with the British government on the bust. Official reports indicate that she managed to travel with a huge quantity of cocaine through the VIP lounge at the Kotoka International Airport. The minority in Parliament have called for a bipartisan committee to investigate circumstances under which Metepe had access to the VIP lounge.
The Sehun Municipal Coordinator of the National Service Scheme has allegedly committed suicide outside his home in Somanya. Lambert Akansa is one of 23 district directors of the National Service Scheme under investigation for the alleged disappearance of 7.9 million Ghana cedis from the scheme. The Akusi District Police Commander, ASP Francis Aka, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said investigations have revealed that Mr. Akansa hanged himself the very day he was to honor an invitation to the BNI. ASP Aka revealed that although family members have not been forthcoming with information, the police have gathered that there was a problem and Mr. Akansa had made inquiries from family members if anyone had ever committed suicide.
We had a report that the man had hanged himself under a mango tree near his house. The father understood that he was staying with the two wives, and then he went out for the weekend. That was around 1 a.m. So it was around 7 a.m. and he started to say, for instance, they have their morning devotion. So it was there that they started to pray for him, and they realized that he had hanged himself under a murder tree with a narrow group, and the report was made to the police.
I'm sure you started investigating.
Yes.
So if you can share with us, what have you found out? Did he tell his wife anything? Did he leave any note?
The information we had was that a week to the time of the suicide, he was having discussion with their first wife, and was just asking whether somebody had had to be saved in their family, and he said no. So they just laughed over. So it was the following week that thing occurred. But the other information we had was that he was called by the BNI. He was supposed to report to the BNI on the 29th of December. That was the information that we had. And it was that day that he had himself.
So currently, has his body been released to the family? Hasn't been buried?
He hasn't been buried. Now, currently, the body is at 7, making hospital for the postmortem.
Oh.
And then, after the postmortem, they will release the body to the family.
And the wife could not give you any other information as to their thinking, why the man killed himself, apart from the fact that BNI had invited him?
You can see that there was a problem. The man was having a problem, because when we asked the first one, he said there wasn't any problem. But when he had the second wife, he said there was a problem. But the wife was not trying to share that information to the police. So later on, that he said that he remember he was called by the BNI, and then he was supposed to report it on the 29th of December. And at the time, he said.
You just heard ESP Francis Acker talking to Gloria Anderson.
And away from that, the Ghana Grid company, Gridco, says fire that gutted one of its stores at its substation at Aplau in the Volta region will not disrupt supply to consumers. The store caught fire yesterday. Its communication director, Albert Queen, told Radio Ghana that the fire service will determine the cause of the fire and the extent of damage.
We've had a fire outbreak within the precinct of the Aswao substation. No substation equipment was affected. Substation is in operation. The fire affected a store where we kept some space, and is transmitting power to customers.
Do we know the cause of the fire?
We do not know as we speak to you right now. We need to investigate and tell you, the public, what the cause is. Too early in the day to know the cause. The fire service has been there, and I believe they will investigate the cause of the fire.
So we can only take stock of what has been destroyed after everything is done, after the fire has been completely put off.
We can take stock of what has been destroyed. We can know the cause of the fire after some time.
That was Communication Director of Gridco, Albert Queen, talking to Gloria Anderson.
A former broadcaster, Godwin Avinogbo, has called on media practitioners to conduct thorough research on consumer needs and wants before introducing new programs. These new programs must be well supervised to ensure continuity. Mr. Avinogbo, speaking on GTV's current affairs program, Talking Point, which discussed GBC's 80th anniversary, said GBC is still relevant, and as a peace center, it must not follow the crowd but stick to its mandate and convince taxpayers on the need to support GBC financially.
I think there's a lack of strict supervision when it comes to what we say on air. One example, I hear things like 5 after 8, that's time check. There's no such time check. And so whoever is supervising should say, no, that's wrong. Don't do it like that next time. Time check is like a signpost. You must hit it or pass it.
Mm.
So when it hits a certain post, then you register time, and then you pass it, which is passed.
Mm.
So it's 5 past 8, not after. You find presenters, and really particularly, what they do is to record endorsements by prominent people. And they play back those endorsements as if they're playing jingle. They're built in jingle form, yes. It reduces the level of endorsement and the empowerment that one can derive from it as somebody prominent listening to you because that you're visible here. They play one after the other. It becomes like concepts. And that also supervision should be able to take care of it. Somebody calls you in the evening to come to the studio the following morning. I don't handle emergency situations in this country. You know, whatever you want to discuss with me, we need to discuss. What are the areas of the discussion? Most journalists today don't even know how to write what a synopsis says. You ask them to provide synopsis and it's like, oh, but I can talk to you. Of course you can talk to me. But put a synopsis down, demarcate the areas of discussion so that I can go back and do some research work.
These things you've touched on, we cannot say that kind of attributed to GBC for doing that?
I'm talking generally.
Generally.
Generally, not GBC.
By GBC, I believe that we cannot find ourselves in some of the things you just touched on.
And I want you to do more. A GBC is a pace setter. The people should learn a good example from here. You should stand out so clearly, so strong, so upright in this business that you be the example people want to use as a reference point.
Are you saying you're not?
I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying you are. All I'm saying is that you can do even better. Take GBC position with regard to news. About content also. Why would a smaller television station in Accra broadcast news of an important nature and then it takes GBC 2 days later to broadcast the same news? It ceases to be news. Is it transport difficulty? Is it lack of reporters on the field? It's a lack of information about activity that is taking place, because you have to be there first to deliver the news or be there while the event is going on. So we're trying to fill the air space, the airways, because we're giving time blocks to fill, but not necessarily so. There's got to be something punchy, something relevant, something happening, something we can relate to and say this is news, it's hot, it's fast. I know GBC has financial problems, yes. But that is because GBC looks after the government to provide funding for the services GBC is bringing to the people of Ghana. It is the people of Ghana who must be the fundraisers for GBC, not the government of Ghana. Government says the kitty is very small, so it's cutting all over the place. Of course, it's going to cut GBC as well, because you are not unique. If the taxpayer is to fund GBC in whatever form, not TV license, of course.
Not TV license.
Then GBC problem will be, what is GBC doing that is affecting the lives of the rural community, the urban community, and the nation as a whole, to convince someone that GBC is in a unique position and needs support and therefore must be given some funding?
GBC is educating. GBC is informing. GBC is playing its public sector role.
Everybody's doing that. Supposed to. Private radio and television are all doing information, education, entertainment.
So most of the programs these private stations are doing, sometimes they even rely on GBC for that.
But you need to come out with these to convince people that you need special support to fund your activities.
That was a former broadcaster, Godwin Avinogbo. A former engineer of GBC, Theophilus Bozo-Bruce, agreed with Mr. Avinogbo on the relevance of GBC and advised the corporation not to pay too much attention to commercialization, but focus on satisfying the needs of its listeners and audience. Mr. Bruce suggested that state agencies must pay for all live programs aired by GBC to help the corporation raise some funds to meet its needs.
Broadcasting as it used to be was purely a public service. Now, with the introduction of this commercialization, the platform is a little bit tilted and funding becoming scarce. Broadcasting GBC has been tempted to, as it were, tilt a little bit towards commercialization, and therefore programs which must be put on the air are actually relegated to the background. There were very good educational programs. These days, we don't see any educational programs at all. Now, entertainment has taken precedence over education, and of course, the news formation aspect of this is still there. It's not by us.
Is the state broadcaster tilting a little bit to see how best they can make money to fund itself?
Yeah, it can tilt a little bit, but not too much. It's becoming too much. And some of us are getting worried about what is that, because we know GBC, Senior Editor, is acclaimed as one of the best, if not the best, in Ghana. And I think we must hold on to that and not just follow the crowd. So when it comes to funding, there is one thing that's been worrying me for some time now. Now, if the government asks you to do something to cover a program, you provide. But then you budget it and send the budget to them. If they don't pay for it, it's still there. That's what we did cost that.
You just heard a former engineer of GBC, Theophilus Bozo-Bruce, on GTV's Talking Point.
Meanwhile, two past broadcasters of GBC have charged journalists not to downplay their role of being catalysts for national growth. They are Reverend Ruby Amable and Samuel Osunimakun, who once served as parliamentary correspondents. They say journalists sometimes tend to dwell too much on trivial matters which do not yield to development. It is thus imperative for them to highlight issues geared at galvanizing people to positive action. Mr. Osunimakun and Reverend Ruby Amable gave the advice at a ceremony which they were honored by the parliamentary press corps. A report by Augustus Akwe and Dominic Hologi.
Samuel Owusu-Nimako of GBC served as the founding dean of the Parliamentary Press Corps from 1993 to 2001. He was succeeded by Reverend Ruby Amable, also a former staff of the state broadcaster. Mr. Owusu-Nimako, sharing his experience as a journalist in the first parliament of the Fourth Republic, said reportage by media men should be devoid of embellishments.
We saw that we want the guy to be partisan. We don't do fellows who are don't say that you are MPP or NDC when you are a person. What is happening on the floor? We listen to it and we give the proper accounts. If you do this, you will never bother anybody.
Reverend Amable was of the view that journalists should always focus on the core substance of any news item.
At times, when I hear the news, when I'm listening to the discussions, I tell myself, I don't think that's a very simplistic issue. Should we make it a national issue? So I think there are times we over-sensationalize things because we want to sell. But when you sit in the crowd and you listen to people, you hear them saying that, oh, we know that this is the journalists are just making sense. Maybe they don't have news. So we just have to sit up and try to shift the facts from the fiction. So the parliament is quite a bit hard. The flimsy ones should not overshadow the ones that the people really want to hear.
The Speaker of Parliament, Edwedu Ajaho, at the event to honor the past journalist, said Parliament has adopted a code of conduct for MPs and is almost ready to be implemented by the House. He said the document will be a major boost to ensuring MPs live above reproach.
Dominic Hologi and Augustus Sakwe.
The news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. UK courts to decide fate of Naili Amadetha today. Suhum Municipal National Service Coordinator commits suicide. Past broadcasters ask GBC to stick to its mandate as public service broadcaster. And police constable in Pretoria under investigation for alleged bribery. Stay with us. Welcome back. Chief Executive of the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, CATH, Dr. Joseph Apalu, says the hospital is determined to reduce waste to achieve greater efficiency in resource management. This comes in the wake of an expected rise in its operating cost due to government's decision not to any longer pay the utility bills of the hospital beginning 2015. The chief executive said its mode of operation is being reviewed to better deal with the new challenges and responsibilities. He said the hospital needs to devise efficient ways of doing things to generate more funds to cover the additional operational expenses. Dr. Falu was speaking at the annual Thanksgiving service organized by the hospital in Kumasi.
Dr. Palu said there's not going to be an easy task with the hospital having to pay its own utility bills combined with the rising cost of medical consumables, equipment and stagnating tariff regime. These, according to him, would exert pressure on the hospital's finances. He said the situation will also call for training, orientation and commitment on the part of management and staff to operate with the efficiency of private sector operators, but with compassion of a public sector health facility in order to achieve a balance. He said the hospital would not only have to be disciplined and customer-centered, but also be particular about turning off taps, air conditioners and lights when not in use. Dr. Palu said his administration is putting priority on staff discipline and good work ethics. He said the hospital will also replace obsolete lifts and the old G-blocks and the aged oxygen plant. He told the workers to ensure unity of purpose and to be prepared to make sacrifices to help the hospital deliver to the expectation of its clients.
A news desk report.
Unity in diversity, bearing political differences, ensuring social cohesion, and forging ahead as one people for the socioeconomic development of the country was the central theme that ran through most of the sermons on the first Sunday of the year in churches in the Accra metropolis. Our team of correspondents have filed this report.
Most churches visited were filled to capacity, with the congregations clad in white attire, singing songs of praise to God for their lives in 2014. They also prayed to God to grant them good health, prosperity, peace and love for one another as they begin the new year. The parish priest of St. Kizito Catholic Church at Nima, Reverend Father Raymond Nesetutu, said Ghanaians should place God above all things and look up to him for sustenance. He said the country should not allow partisan politics to divide it, but be united.
It is my dearest wish that all Ghanaians, no matter what kind of Christian denomination that we belong, or even religion that we belong, it is the fundamental principle of God to reveal himself unto us. So whichever denomination or religion or political party or whatever kind of work that we are into, let us ensure that we will seek the face of God in all that we do. Once God is invited, then morality will be evoked. Once morality is evoked, there will be discipline. Once there is discipline, there will be productivity. Once there is productivity, there will be prosperity. And once there is prosperity, there will be peace.
The second minister of the Nantoma Memorial Presbyterian Church at Kanda, Reverend Henry Amwahu, was hopeful this year will see an improvement in the living conditions of Ghanaians. He said Ghanaians should expect economic improvement in sanitation, and the solution to the energy crisis.
We have to see changes in our environment. Sanitation should be improved. The economy should be improved. Doomsday should be a thing of the past. Food should be full in our house. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Ghanaians should come together to clean our environment. Cholera, we should not see it again, because if we clean our environment, it will improve our health condition and improve our standard of living.
At the Church of Pentecost Emmanuel Assembly, Nima District, the district head pastor, Pastor Maxwell Aja Aiti, also added his voice to the cause of ensuring unity for the development of the country.
My message for all Ghanaians is that they should put their trust in God through Christ Jesus, who is the creator of everything. Surely, definitely, he's going to provide all our needs. One thing which is important, that we should unite as a nation and then try to forge ahead together. Partisan politics has eaten up some of the ambitions of the nation. And I think it's high time the political leaders see themselves as one people, come together, fight at a united front.
The head pastor of Shalom Congregation Presbyterian Church at Osu North, Reverend Ruben Lamse Gaskin, asked Ghanaians to embrace the year with the attitude of honesty and hard work in order to build the nation.
We should approach the year with the attitude of honesty, the attitude of humility, and the attitude of hard work, so we can grow this nation to a better place for all of us.
The senior pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church at Awoshi, Reverend Rex Nsiakusi, asked Ghanaians to love one another.
We are able to express love. We will not be looking above our shoulders because you are from this part, you are from this. And I believe that if all of us in this nation, being a Muslim, Christian, we all have one focus, to build this Ghana and make Ghana a paradise for all of us. Corruption will go, people will not hate one another, and people not even think of being corrupt, because you love your other brother. You know that if you take that money and that hospital is not built, that person is going to die. For the love that you have for that brother, you won't steal that money.
It is hoped that the zeal and momentum experienced on the first Sunday of the year will be sustained.
That was a report by our team of correspondents.
Away from the shores of Ghana, the UN Mission for Ebola Emergency Response has welcomed a new special representative for the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Ismail Old Sheikh Ahmed takes over from outgoing head Anthony Banbury. Speaking at a town hall meeting with the mission staff, Old Sheikh Ahmed praised the achievements of all Ebola partners. Mr. Ahmed, who arrived yesterday in Accra, where the mission is headquartered, emphasized the need to get rid of the disease, which has become a global crisis. He acknowledged the difficulties that lie ahead and was optimistic that success can be achieved. Outgoing head Anthony Banbury welcomed Ahmed to Ghana, saying despite the task ahead, it will be vital to pause and take stock of what has been achieved.
A police constable is being investigated after video footage showed him allegedly taking money from a crime scene in Pretoria. The constable, a fingerprint expert, had attended a burglary at a fruit and vegetable outlet in Pretoria North 2 weeks ago. The footage shows the officer pocketing the cash after sending employees at the shop outside. Reports say criminal and disciplinary proceedings will, in accordance with SA Police Service Disciplinary Code, be instituted against the member. The constable joined the police force in March 2008.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says he is discussing with Jordan plans to resubmit to the UN Security Council a resolution calling for the establishment of a Palestinian state. Palestinian officials hope the UN will be more sympathetic to their resolution demanding an Israeli withdrawal from occupied territories and independence by 2017. In the UN vote last week, the Palestinian draft received 8 votes in favor, including France, Russia, and China, but Australia joined the US in voting against the measure. The US has veto power as one of the Council's 5 permanent members and has pledged to block Abbas's plan, calling it one-sided and unproductive.
Afghan President Ashraf Ghani says America's 2-year deadline for pulling out the last of his troops may need to be re-examined. U.S. President Barack Obama is committed to withdrawing all U.S. soldiers by the end of 2016 as Afghanistan looks after its own security. But Taliban militants stepped up attacks dramatically last year and have declared victory over the U.S. Mr. Ghani told U.S. broadcaster CBS that deadlines should not be dogmas. Disagreements over the timetable for the U.S.-led coalition's withdrawal dodged Mr. Obama's relations with the new Afghan president's predecessor, Hamid Karzai.
Egyptian officials say Czech archaeologists have unearthed the tomb of a previously unknown queen believed to have been the wife of Pharaoh Neferefre, who ruled 4,500 years ago. The tomb was discovered in Abu Sayyid, an old kingdom necropolis southwest of Cairo, where there are several pyramids dedicated to pharaohs of the 5th dynasty, including the queen. The name of his wife had been known before the find.
Tunisia's interior ministry says Islamist extremists have slit the throat of a police officer and knifed him in the heart as he returned from work. A ministry statement said the officer was attacked early yesterday on his way home in a rural zone in Zaghouan, about 40 kilometers from Tunis.
Firefighters in South Australia say they are racing to contain a major bushfire before worsening weather expected on Wednesday. More than 30 homes are already feared destroyed in the hills behind the city of Adelaide. More than 500 firefighters are tackling the fires, which have been burning since Friday. Officials say the blaze is the worst in the area since the Ash Wednesday bushfires in 1983, which left 75 dead.
And now to end the news, a look at some of the stories that made the headline. The Ghanaian woman who was busted for carrying 12.5 kilograms of cocaine into the United Kingdom, Ruby Apia, alias Naele Ametepe, will reappear before the Crown Court at Isleworth in the UK today. The Suhu Municipal Coordinator of the National Service Scheme, Lambeth Akansa, is alleged to have committed suicide. Veteran workers of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, GBC, have called on the corporation to stick to its original mandate as a public service broadcaster. And the Pretoria Police Constable is under investigation for alleged bribery. The constable, a fingerprint expert, had attended to a burglary at a fruit and vegetable outlet in Pretoria not 2 weeks ago. Footage of the scene shows the officer pocketing the cash after sending employees at the shop outside. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwaten
and Jonathan Thompson.